Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Beta Radio. That is my daughter. She likes to play around with my tape recorder, so we let her do a little promo for us. Yes, it is. I told you, Joe, I told you last week the next time we heard that song it would be for a Ranger goal. I promised you. Yes, we had a couple of seconds of dead air, Joe. It's no big deal. We're okay. Everything's all.
I didn't know where you were. I was so confused.
Sorry,
just throw these things at me.
That file took a second to get going there. So good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio on the Blue Shirt Banner Network. Good evening, Joe. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Today is Joe's last day of being 20 years old. Tomorrow he turns the big 2-1. So by this time tomorrow night, Joe should be good and overserved, as they say. And
I might be dead.
And make sure tomorrow morning, but when you get to work or school or wherever it is, you check us out first thing in the morning. Make sure you go in there. We will have a special Joe's birthday thread early in the morning, and you can go in there and drop Joe some birthday wishes or roast him or a little of both, which is what I chose.
Tell your favorite Joe stories.
Tell your favorite Joe stories.
Your favorite Joe picture.
Yeah, like I have a new Joe story that we could tell, but we won't share that because we don't want to get Joe into too much trouble. But anyway, good evening, guys. All is well. We are here together tonight again on Blue Shirt Banner Radio, and we got three games in the books, and so far so good. No complaints. Rangers are 2-1. We started off with a loss against Pittsburgh for opening night. And then they've bounced back with two wins in a row. Before we get going, we want to welcome our new members, any new members out there that have signed up for BlueShirtBanner.com.
Yeah, we got a lot of them this week.
Yeah, there's been a lot of them as the season got ready and after the season got going. We've had quite a few new members sign up, and they've been posting and sharing their thoughts, which is good. We welcome you guys. And also, we want to welcome some new listeners, anybody that's listening to us for the first time. Welcome. We hope you'll stick with us. Just so you know, if it's your first time here in the show, you guys can call in. We're hoping that we want to take a lot of phone calls tonight. We have no guests lined up. We went guest-free tonight so that we could get phone calls and see what's going on with you guys, what your thoughts are on the first couple of games. Phone number, as always, 646-478-4692. We want to say hello to our good buddy, Post678. As always, he is serving in Iraq, and we hope he's doing well, and we hope he comes home soon. Before we start recapping the games, I just want to, I guess the latest that we've heard on Sean Avery is that he's going to try and play on Thursday night, right, Joe?
Yeah, I think he's he's going to be in the lineup on Thursday, and it will also answer, you know, there have been whispers that Mr.
Whispers.
Agee will be receiving one of the A's, so
whispers.
We'll see what happens.
Whispers, yes, that's been rumored, but nothing confirmed.
Nothing confirmed.
Ranger fans seem to be divided on that. I said at the beginning of the offseason when we started talking about it, and we did a couple of stories on it, and I thought, what the hell, make a statement. You know, you want to put out this brash new statement, this it's a new era, it's a brand new day in Ranger world, why not? But Ranger fans seem to be on the fence about it as to whether or not he's ready for it. I think he looks like he's ready to assume more of a leadership role with this team. I think it would be interesting to see him with the A. And we all know that Devil fans, Flyer fans, Islander fans, for them the A on Avery's shirt will stand for something else. So we'll see. Hopefully he'll be back on Thursday. It'll be good to see him. One big question is if Avery's in the lineup Thursday night, Joe, who's out of the lineup?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, I think Boyle or Voros are probably the two, you know, bottom rung players on this team. And I was reading around a lot, and consensus, and I agree with this, consensus seems to be that Boyle obviously has much more of an upside than Voros, but Boyle has had a much better three games than Voros has. So my guess is Voros. I don't think Tortorella wants to break up Dubinsky and Prostel and Gabrick anyway, so I don't see him moving Prostel to wing or Prostel to center and then moving Anisimov to the fourth line just because Boyle is being sent down. I fully expect it to be Voros.
You're probably right. I don't know. My question is the thing, and I've been. We'll get into this a little later on. Well, we can get into it now. It doesn't really matter. I've been really hard on Aaron Voros, really hard on him. Ever since, you know, the middle of last season, I've been really tough on him. But he's played okay the first three games. He's been okay. He hasn't been great. I don't think he's ever going to be great. He's not a great player, but, you know, he does what he does. He's been okay the first three games. And that line, the Voros, Brashear, and Boyle line has been pretty effective. They've played well. They haven't gotten a whole lot of ice time, but John Tortorella seems to know when the right time is to use them. And when they've been on the ice, they've been effective. Brashear has even shown a little offense. He's had a couple of shots on goal. He had one last night, a slap shot that, to be quite honest with you, I didn't know he had in him. Excuse me. So,
but how do you keep Avery out of the lineup?
Well, it's not so much keeping Avery out of the lineup, but might there be another candidate to sit out when Avery comes back? I mean, let's, you know, it doesn't just because Avery's coming back doesn't mean somebody has to go to Hartford, does it? Somebody could just be.
It doesn't, especially because, you know, there's also rumors going around that Lisson might sit a couple of games because, you know, he's looked okay, but if you watch Lisson when he doesn't have the puck, I mean, it looks like I'm not there. He's not in position. He's not, you know, he's not able to make defensive plays. He's not opening up space. So there are whispers. I love that terminology. There are whispers going around that Lisson also may be set. Not for the Hartford. I agree with you. Tortorella doesn't like having spare parts, but I think that he might let Lisson sit and, you know, work on his D a little bit in practice before putting him in. It buys him more time to take a look at the team.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, he may just bring it. If Avery comes back Thursday night, somebody may sit for, you know, just a couple of games, make sure Avery's completely healthy. They don't have to make that decision Thursday as to who's gonna go back to Hartford and who's gonna stay with the team. So we'll see what happens. It may be I think it'll be a few days. If Avery does come back Thursday night and play, I think it'll be a few days before they make an official decision on who's gonna go to Hartford. So let's talk a little bit about the first three games. We'll start with the Pittsburgh game, 3-2 loss opening night. Banner night for the Penguins. It was a big night for them, and I thought the Rangers played pretty well. They obviously made some mistakes, but I thought they played pretty well. They played good up tempo. They kept with the Penguins, I thought, most of the game. Fleury had to make some some pretty impressive saves at times, or else, you know, the outcome might have been a little different. What were your thoughts on the Pittsburgh game?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I did my recap, and people were not exactly happy with some of the things that I was saying, because I had more good than bad in it. But I thought the Rangers played a great game against Pittsburgh. I mean, they ran into defending Stanley Cup champions. I mean, there were, you know, a couple of plays that, you know, maybe on a two-on-one if Prostal roofs the puck instead of looking for that easy goal, you know, the Rangers are up 2-1 at that point. Or even, you know, just beating Fleury. I mean, take nothing away from the Penguins. The Fleury had an unbelievable game. They had blocked 15 shots for the third period. I don't know what the final number was, but the Rangers just, they didn't look totally comfortable yet. And when they played Ottawa the next day, they looked much, much more comfortable in John Tortorella's system. And yeah. I think that the biggest problems were getting the defensemen acclimated to pinching as often as they did, but still being able to get back and play defense. And I think they've looked much better as time has, you know, these short three games have gone on.
Yeah, I agree. They looked okay against Pittsburgh. It was nice to see Chris Drury get a goal. I thought the worst part of the Pittsburgh game was just Michael Roosevelt, who looked terrible. And we'll get into a little bit more about him as we go along. Before we keep going, I see we have 2MN8TR in the chat room, and I just wanted to thank him again for that great that great Gilroy story he did the other day that we featured on the site, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. And I actually sent that to Matt Gilroy. I sent him the link on Facebook. And, you know, said that I thought he might like it and to read it when he got a chance. I haven't heard back from him, but he's been a little he's been busy. So, Tuminator. Okay. So, all right. So there we go.
Tuminator.
Okay. And you know, I had forgot to mention this at the top of the show. It's with the, you know, the Rangers got off to a good start. It's a pretty good time to be a New York sports fan right now. With the Rangers are off to a good start. The Yankees are getting ready for the playoffs, I guess, Wednesday or Thursday night. Giants are 4-0. The Jets are 3-1. Pretty good. You know, with the exception of the Mets, it's a pretty good time to be a New York sports fan, Joe.
I agree with that. I think that it's about time, though. We've had some pretty horrible years.
Yeah, well, you know, for Met fans, the horrible years continue. But thankfully, we pulled the plug on that on Sunday. But, yeah, the Giants are doing well. The Jets are doing well. Rangers are off to a good start. Got the Yankees. When did the playoffs start for the Yankees? Thursday night?
No, I think so, yeah. Sabathia. Okay.
And I didn't see I didn't even look in on the baseball game this afternoon, so I don't know how that went, the one-game playoff between the Tigers and the Twins. I didn't even see how it was going.
I'll look right now. I'm pretty sure the game is still going on.
Yeah, I forgot to
3-2 Detroit over Minnesota.
3-2. Okay, there you go. So anyway, so we'll move on. And the following night, we had Saturday night, was the home opener at Madison Square Garden against Ottawa. And my first question about the home opener was, what was up with that Blue Man Group thing? I couldn't hear it. If you guys remember, you guys are in the chat room that joined us in the open thread, there was some issues with NHL Center Ice and their audio. So I missed the audio on about the first hour of the game or so before it finally cut in. So I didn't hear the Blue Man Group thing. I just was going by what you guys were saying in the open thread and just some of the other comments I read other places, and sounded like it was pretty odd.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna lie, it was odd. You told me they had a special guest that was being tweeted, and I was pretty excited to see who it was. The Blue Man Group came out, and I'm thinking to myself, oh God, what are they doing? But if you watched it, they got a fantastic reception from the crowd. The crowd was very happy to see them. They were cheering them. They were, you know, they were happy. I was astounded.
Yeah, it was, and Frosty's talking about it now in the chat room. It was a little break from the norm that we've seen at Madison Square Garden in years past, when they've brought the players on one by one, and usually there's a lot of fanfare and laser shows on the ice with the players' jersey numbers and things like that. And this was a lot different. The Rangers came out as a group. They were introduced as the the 2009-2010 New York Rangers, and that I believe, you know, that's part of the team concept that Tortorella is going for, and I understood it. I figured that's why they did it that way, and they came out and saluted the fans right away, which I don't know about you, Joe, but I never get tired of seeing the salute to the fans.
No, I don't either. I love it. I'm sorry I didn't know that my opinion was.
That's okay. Your opinion's always important. That was who was it that originally came up with that idea? It was Marty Straka, wasn't it? The suggestion to Yager, if I remember correctly.
It's definitely a European thing. It may have been Straka only because I remember a couple of years ago the Islanders started doing it, except they'd line up at the blue line instead of at center ice.
And
Islanders fans were claiming that it was much, much different, and it was just very sad. And I remember someone said something about Straka. So, yes, it was Straka or Jager, maybe even Nylander, but I don't know for sure. But it's definitely one of the European players. It is a European tradition.
Yeah, I think it was one of the European players suggested it to Jager, and he thought it was a good idea, and they started doing it. I love the fact that the Islanders thought they – so at the Nassau Coliseum, it was the salute to the fan?
Yeah, they would do it from the blue line because they could just sit next to them and they could watch them.
It was the salute to that guy.
Yeah, like that one dude.
It was a little different start to the season for the Rangers for their pregame ceremonies. But the Rangers looked really good on Saturday night. That was a fun game to watch. They've actually won 5 in a row at home now, dating back to last season. Brandon Dubinsky, Saturday night, threw himself a little bit of a coming-out party, Joe.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone had, you know, thought anything different would happen. I think, for me at least, the biggest question mark on Dubinsky is consistency. And if you were watching the game on MSG, do you get the MSG feed on center ice or no?
Yes, most times.
You do. So you probably saw it too. They were discussing Brandon Dubinsky's consistency. Actually, it may have been the third game. I'm not sure, against the Devils. But Brandon Dubinsky last year scored 4 goals in his first 10 games, and then had 1 goal in his next 33 games. And they were talking about the consistency. And if you remember last year, Dubinsky got off to a torrent start. I mean, he was scoring goals just like he is now. He was making great plays. He was assisting on goals. He was fun to watch. And for whatever reason, he was violently snake-bitten through the middle of last year. So it will be interesting to see the way he, you know, he responds. I mean, 1 goal over 33 games. Obviously, you know, the defense first system like Lenny's maybe doesn't suit him. But I want to see consistency out of him. But as of right now, there are absolutely no complaints out of what I've seen. And I agree. No better way than to do it in front of the fans.
I'm sorry. I'm just reading the chat room.
Yeah,
mouth, mouth is off and running. Don't forget, phone calls tonight, guys. 646-478-4692. There's plenty of you in the chat room. I know most of you have, I'm sure at least some of you have telephones. So let's go. Give us a call. We want to get your thoughts on the first couple of games. Dubinsky, I'll tell you what, that line seems to have good chemistry right off the bat. They had 6 points on Saturday night. Dubé had, I think, 2 goals and an assist. Prospel had a goal. Gabrick had a goal and an assist. They were all over the place. And like Tuminator just said, they're playing with Gabrick. It's doubtful that Dubinsky's going to go in any kind of stretch like he had last year. I can't imagine that happening. Plus, not in this style of play. I think this is going to really, really help his game. And, of course, Saturday night, I think the big story was, for most of us, was Michael Delzato getting his first NHL goal. Mom and Dad were in the crowd waving and crying, and that was cool to see him get his first goal. It got everybody all pumped up. Michael Delzato is quickly becoming, a favorite of a lot of us. He's definitely a lot of fun to watch. We're going to have to deal with his defensive shortcomings until his game picks up, but his offense is definitely there.
Yeah, and, I mean, if I would have put on the site a week ago that 3 games into the season, Delzato and Gabrick would have the same amount of goals, you'd all probably lit me a new one. But I think that he's great for the power play because the difference between Delzato and other defensemen that the Rangers have is Delzato looks for the shot. Delzato looks to create space for him to shoot the puck. Roosevelt still tries to pass to Yager, and Yager's in Russia. Roosevelt has a fantastic shot when he uses it, but he's a pass-first defenseman. Redden's shot hasn't been there for, you know, it wasn't there last year. I'm hoping he gets it back. Stahl's shot isn't there yet. Girardi has a great shot, but again, he looks to, you know, to make the play. He looks to get open ice. He looks to make space. Delgado was the first, I mean, you saw him in the game against the Senators in the first period when we had all those power plays. He was literally skating low into the zone and just ripping shots at the net. And I was thinking to myself, when was the last time we had a defenseman like this? When was the last time we had a defenseman who actually looks for the shot? And he, him and Kotelny can make that power play so dangerous. I mean, you could not have picked a better 1-2 pair on the Rangers than them two, because Kotelny is a slap shot that's like 150 miles per hour. And Delgado is, you know, he is what he is. He's an offensive machine. He looks to make space. I'll agree with you. You know, I put in my Delgado story. You'll have to deal with the growing pains, but that's the necessary evil with putting a potential superstar who's 19 years old on the starting roster. And, you know, we have the best goalie in the league, in my opinion, so, you know, there's nothing, if Delgado was going to make a mistake, I'd want Lundqvist back there to stop the puck. So right. It's a necessary, you know, it's a necessary evil, but I love what I see from him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in my opinion, there's only one way to learn how to play defense, and that's in the NHL, and that's to be in the NHL. You can't learn how to play defense in the NHL, you know, by going back to the OHL for another year or 2 years, or, you know, and then bringing him up to Hartford. If his offense was ready, I think we could all live with his defense as he learns how to play the game. I think he'll be fine.
And you know what? His defense hasn't even been that bad. We were talking in the open thread the other day about how these next three games would be a big measuring stick for Delgado. And because they're playing the Devils, then they're playing the Capitals, and after they play the Capitals, they play the Ducks, which are three, you know, obviously the Capitals and the Ducks are more offensively gifted, but those are three very good teams. And I thought Delgado stood tall against the Devils. I thought, you know, obviously, let's not forget now, Delgado and Gilroy are not really playing third periods right now. Tortorella is kind of keeping them, you know, on the bench so that they can kind of, you know, he can put his regulars out there on defense to protect leads. But I think that Delgado and both Gilroy held themselves. They did very well against the Devils, but this Thursday is going to be a big test. Going up against Ovechkin, Backstrom, you know, Semin, Mike Green, these are the premier, you know, point getters in the league, and I'm curious to see how they do.
Yeah, so am I. Getting back I lost my train of thought now on the Delzato thing. It's mostly going to be, you know, just about positioning and being in the right place at the right time. Same thing with Gilroy. I mean, Gilroy right now just kind of looks like he's at a skating rink and he's just flying all over the ice. And you know, he certainly likes to carry the puck. He's just all over the place. And he just seems to have a nose for that puck, but he'll learn. You know, it's the same thing. It's just part of the growing pains they're going to have to go through. And yeah, Thursday night is going to be a big test for them. And I don't have a problem with Tortorella sitting them on the bench in the third period. You know, as long as the guys he's putting out there aren't making mistakes and hurting the team. And so far they're not. So far it's working okay. Limiting their minutes in the third period, it's working okay. And this way, you know, Gilroy and Delzato get a chance to kind of watch the game a little bit and observe what goes on in the third period of a 1-2 goal game. And
a big Blue Shirt Panther. Congratulations, by the way, to Gilroy, who his first NHL goal kind of got overlooked a little bit, I think, in the win against the Devils. But
well, I was going to get to it.
He had a great job too.
You know, they're talking about Marty Brodeur in the chat room being fat, and nobody noticed last night that on the open game thread where we put the player pictures in the open game thread post, nobody noticed that I changed Martin Brodeur's weight to 415 pounds. I thought somebody would have picked up on that. I mean, they point out every spelling mistake we make. They point out every grammatical mistake we make. They point out every rule error, every mistake we make, Joe. They point out.
Point out things that aren't there sometimes.
And I put in there, I changed his weight. It said Martin Brodeur, you know, his height, 6'1", whatever he is, and his weight said 415 pounds, and nobody noticed it. Somebody would pick up on it.
When you think about it, and I've been ringing this bell for a couple of years now, ever since the Rangers playoff series against the Devils 2 years ago when the Rangers won in five games, Martin Brodeur has not looked the same. And even two nights ago, that goal he gave up to Gilroy was the goal that you expect Martin Brodeur to stop. And I think that he's going into that, I'm sort of getting at that age where my skill is diminishing a little bit phase, and it will be interesting to see how things go. But he has not looked like Martin Brodeur, you know, we remember. This is not to say he's not still a great goalie, but that I've definitely seen a decrease in, you know, his playing efficiency. And what do you think? Am I crazy or?
Well, I mean, he's not the same. You know, I think it's fair to say he's not the same goaltender he was 5 years ago, but he's what, 38 years old now, 37. You know, how many athletes are the same at 38 that they were at 33? You know, that's just part of getting older, and you know, he's played a lot of games. So, you know, I don't think that's an unfair statement to say he's not the same goaltender. I think he's still, you know, in your top 5 to 10 goal, you know, probably top 5 in the league. But no, you're right. I mean, the Rangers did quite a job on him in that playoff series a couple of years ago. And no, he hasn't. Well, he's also been injured, but he hasn't looked good to start this season, even though, I mean, he only gave up 3 goals last night, but the Rangers only had, I think it was 26 shots. So he's, you know, that's not his usual. He's usually doing better than that. But anyway, moving on with the Devils, the Ottawa game we're still talking about. Henrik Lundqvist had 32 saves. I think he had 19 saves in the second period alone. So he was his usual. He was on his game as usual. And also, you know, it was a fun game to watch because the Rangers were pretty much in control from beginning to end, with, you know, with just a few lapses here and there. But the only thing that concerned me a little bit on Saturday night's game, Joe, and I don't know what your thoughts are, is that the Rangers, they took a pretty good pounding on Saturday night. I mean, they withstood it, obviously. They won the game, but I thought at times they were getting pushed around a little bit, and that's something we've talked about quite a bit, especially with Paulie D. I'm hoping he pops in here at some point tonight and gives us a call, because I'd like to get his thoughts on it. I thought a little in some of the physical battles, Ottawa was pushing them around at times pretty good on Saturday night.
Well, yeah, they were, but Ottawa has a pretty big team, and, you know, I'm not overly worried about a situation like that. The Rangers aren't a huge team, but I can promise you that if things truly start getting out of hand, Tortorella can easily move Brashear up to the third line and just start, you know, having him protect the Rangers or lay into people. I mean, this is where I truly think the upgrade is between Colton Orr and Domhnal Brashear. Is he, you know, is he skilled enough to play on the first, second, third line? No, I mean, he might be a third liner, but he's a good enough skater that if you put him on the second line for a couple of shifts just to see some ice time and just to crack some skulls and, you know, make sure that the Rangers aren't getting pushed around too much, it's not the worst thing in the world. Whereas Colton Orr, you couldn't see him on anything other than the fourth line. So I think that if things truly do start getting out of hand, you know, that might be a solution. Plus, I mean, Tortorella, you know, I noticed that when the Rangers were really getting pushed around against Ottawa, Tortorella put that fourth line out there, and that is a tremendous fourth line. They're huge. So I think he has, you know, some weapons at his disposal. But I really wasn't worried about it.
Okay. I think it's something that bears watching. And like I said, I'm hoping Paulie D checks in with us tonight because I'm curious to get his thoughts on it. He's been ringing the "we're not gritty enough" bell all summer long, so I'm curious to get his thoughts on it. So like I said, it was a fun game on Saturday night. They were in control most of the evening. It was fun to watch. It was nice to just see the Rangers just up and down the ice and moving the puck. And, you know, as usual, the game was sold out. The Rangers have had 171 straight sellouts now. They haven't had a game since Halloween of 2005 that wasn't sold out. So that's pretty pretty interesting. Then we've got the only other bad part about the Ottawa game was that Roosevelt was awful. That's
the common trend.
It was. Roosevelt just looks like he's standing still out there. He's not making plays. We're going to talk a little bit more about Roosevelt in just a little while, but that was one of the notes I took down on the Ottawa game. So then the Rangers came back last night and played the Devils out on the Rock in Newark, which I like to refer to as MSG West. Came away with a 3-2 win. Game got off to a rather inauspicious start for the Rangers. Rob Niedermeyer scored a minute and 10 seconds into the game. Rangers came out sloppy. They looked awful. Right after the goal, that kind of continued. The Rangers just kind of looked like a Chinese fire drill. And it was a play stoppage. Tortorella called timeout and just had a meltdown at the team. And you know, you could read those lips pretty well, Joe.
Yeah, just to quickly announce, if anyone is a Minnesota fan, Cabrera just hit a two-run home run. It's 4-3 Minnesota, bottom of the seventh. But, yes, I completely agree with you, and I made a comment on a story I wrote this morning that got some pretty harsh reviews, and I just wanted to explain what I meant. I made the comparison that had Tom Rennie have been the coach of this team, the Rangers would have lost that game. And that was not meant to be that Tom Rennie was a bad coach, because you and I have had this discussion before. We've had it on the radio. We both think that, you know, Rennie was a great coach. He just didn't work well. You know, he didn't.
Not great.
Glenn Sather signed a couple of players that didn't fit his system.
I never said
and
great.
And what I meant was there, Tom Rennie would not have called the timeout with a minute and 30 seconds into that game. He would have walked up and down the bench. He would have clapped his hands. He would have told them, come on, boys, you can do this. You know what you're doing. And the Rangers would have gotten run over. Tortorella screaming at them a minute and 20 seconds into that game, I think, set the tone. Right after that happened, they still looked a little shaky, but they played better. They tightened up. They did not want to go into that locker room down, you know, 1-0 or whatever it may have been. You know, me and my roommates were joking that Tortorella just has like a torture bench up there, and he just throws them all on the stretcher and starts, you know, pulling his limbs. And you don't want to go through something like that with John Tortorella. And I said in the story, it's important for a coach to know his team. And Tortorella knows this team. He knows this team well enough to know that, you know, they needed motivation. They needed to be smacked around a little bit. And they responded to the call. And I think that, you know, as much emphasis as you put on Delzato, Gilroy, you know, Kotelik, Gabrick, Dubinsky, and Lundqvist for just fantastic games. You need to give Tortorella tons of credit for that win.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was the most effective timeout I've seen a Ranger coach call since Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, when the Rangers were lethargic. Mike Keenan called a timeout, gathered everybody around the bench, and didn't say a word. He just stood there staring at them, and it was the opposite reaction from the coach last night, but that was what it reminded me of. It was just an effective, you know, he got his message across, and you know, Roosevelt took a penalty right after the timeout, and they had to kill that penalty. But after they killed the penalty, you could see there was a total change in their game. They got the goal from who scored the first goal last night? I'm forgetting. Delzato scored the first goal, okay, and then Kotelik had the second one. And you could just see a total turnaround in their game last night, so it was very effective. You know, and it was just great to see him standing there screaming at his team on the bench and reading those lips, which was pretty easy to see on Versus last night.
You know, I made a joke in my story, and no one responded to it. You know, you were talking about jokes you made. I said that Tortorella said that if they didn't pick up their play, he was going to bank them so fast that Alexei Yashin was going to come around thinking that he missed the reunion, the former head coach Steve Sterling. And no one responded to my joke.
I think there's a reason for that, Joe.
Why?
Because it wasn't that funny.
Well, I thought it was funny. I thought it was clever and engaging. And
you know what? If you thought it was funny, Joe, that's really all that matters. That's really all that matters. That's it. All right, guys, we're talking about the Rangers. We're going over the first couple of games. Let's get some phone calls, 646-478-4692. We want to hear from you guys. You're all in the chat room. Let's pick up the phone. Let's get on the air. We haven't taken phone calls in a couple of weeks now. Tonight's your chance. So the Devils game, yeah, we had Delzato with the tying goal. And then Alex Kotalik had a great shot for a goal that tied it at 2. And then we had Matt Gilroy getting his first goal in the NHL last night, which was great to see. And he's kind of, you know, he was the hit of preseason, and now Delzato's kind of stolen his thunder here in the first couple of games with him getting the big goal at the Garden the other night, and his parents were there. So Gilroy's been a little overshadowed. It was good to see him get a goal last night. And Michael Delzato and Matt Gilroy are the first Ranger rookie defensemen since Jeff Blomberg and Miroslav Horshava to score in the same game. That happened in 1990. And I think it's kind of interesting. I hope and pray that Michael Delzato and Matt Gilroy have better careers than those two do, because I don't think either one of them were in the league 2 or 3 years later. Maybe maybe Mouth can back us up on that. He's an expert with stuff like that, but I don't think either one of them lasted more than a couple of years after 1990.
What's nice to see is that I'd say that Gilroy got a goal that he deserved, because Gilroy has been skating up and down the ice. He's been pressing. He's been taking great shots. He just couldn't finish. Delzato, you know, Tortorella decided that Delzato was going to be the quarterback of the power play the day the season started. And he had a goal and an assist. Those are his only points against the Devils. But both of them were on the power play. And that's good to see. You know, the Rangers need that force back there on that blue line. I do believe Kotelik's goal and his assist were on the power play as well. It's good to see that the Rangers have two guys who are pointing their power play who can put the puck in the back of the net and can strike fear into their opponents. And I got to tell you something. If you watch Kotelik, you know, Dave Maloney said it, I think it was against the Senators, when Kotelik's shot hits the boards when he misses the net, it makes a different kind of noise. He has a cannon. And it's just something the Rangers have lacked for so long on the power play, you know, that booming shot from the point that, I mean, I love it. And our power, you can't sit here and tell me, even if you're the most negative Ranger fan in the world, you can't tell me this power play is not exciting. And you can't tell me it doesn't look like it could be tops in the league.
I agree. We'll talk about the power play in a few minutes when we get into a couple other things, but I just want to finish up recapping the Devils game from last night. Like I said, Gilroy got his goal. Kotalik got on the score sheet. And one of my favorite parts of last night is, we always joke about what used to be the Brendan Byrne Arena, then it was the Continental Airlines Arena, then it was the Izod Center, and now I think it's the Dandy Donuts House or whatever it is, and now it's carried over to the Prudential Center or the Rock or the whatever they want to call it in Newark. Ranger fans just invade the place, and it was great last night to be able to hear Ranger fans taunting Martin Brodeur in his own building. I mean, you could hear. I mean, that came over the TV clear as anything. You could hear the Marty, and I just love it. And then the Devil fans tried to do it to Henrik, but you could barely hear them. I mean, it's the same thing as it was in the Meadowlands. There's just no atmosphere. Devils fans just don't create that kind of home atmosphere. It's nothing like, you know, it's nothing like Madison Square Garden or some of the other arenas around the league. You just don't, you know, when you go into these places and it's just so loud and the fans are behind them, you just don't get that sense of a Devils home game.
There's nothing like being at the Garden during the playoffs and just hearing the entire place chant Marty for at least 2 minutes. And you have to be wondering what he's thinking sitting in that crease, because usually he's just given up a goal. He probably feels like crap already, and the crowd gets on him. And that's home ice advantage. I mean, that's why, people say, oh, it's so great to play in Madison Square Garden. There's a reason why you don't want to play against actual fans. And I'm sorry, but the Devils, I mean, in the intermission at the second period, they showed an overview of the Pebble, and there was literally there was maybe like 3,000 people in the lower bowl. It was a joke. I think my Quinnipiac Bobcats may get more, you know, average fans than the Devils.
And I don't mean to make a blanket statement about Devil fans, because there are some that are dedicated and they're loud and they get into it, but it just there's no atmosphere, and there wasn't an atmosphere when they played in the Meadowlands either. It just, you didn't get that sense that, oh my, you know, it wasn't an intimidating building like the Garden or the Bell Center in Montreal or Chicago or, you know, places like that. Or even, you know, even Washington, I was pretty impressed with their fans in the playoffs of how loud they are. I know we don't want to talk too much about it, but I was surprised. Their fans are pretty loud, and you know that's a big part of it.
There was a repeat of Game 7 of the 2003 Stanley Cup Finals, the ones that the Devils won in 7 games against, I think it was the Ducks, and there were at least 1,000 empty seats. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Huh.
I mean, my dad had 2 tickets to Game 7 of the Rangers Stanley Cup Finals, and a guy on the street offered him $10,000 per ticket.
Huh.
And they couldn't sell out 1,000 tickets at the Devils Arena. So it's just something that's always stuck with me.
Nice. All right, we got a call on the line. It looks like a Skype call. Skype, you are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Good evening.
Oh, you're early this evening. I didn't know if it was you or not.
Yes, I'm a little bit early. I just got done at Burger King having a little bit of fun, and I decided to catch this show tonight.
For those of you that don't know, and I can't imagine how you couldn't possibly know, this is the one and only Mouth, our partner in the Blue Shirt Banner Network. Ah, and Paulie D has shown up. Good. I'm glad... Paulie D, I've been pimping you out all night long. I want you to call in tonight. So once you get settled into the chat room, Paulie, make sure you call in. But I apologize. Good evening, Mouth. It's always a pleasure
evening,
to hear from
fellas.
You. How are you this
glad
evening?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. I think we all are. I mean, first 3 games, you know, win or lose, this team has been exciting to watch. It's been up and down. And just think when Avery gets back into the lineup, how much more fun it's going to be. So I'm enjoying hockey right now, and let's hope it continues, and this is not a flash in the pan, but I can't see it. They got a lot of young guys that are making a lot of old guys look bad out there. Now, I don't know if the old guys, especially on defense, are bad, but they're making some of those guys look like they're skating in quicksand, especially Roosevelt. You know, I've always been a guy who's defended Rosie, but he looks awful
us
out
too.
There. I don't put much weight in that. I just see the one-on-one battles, he's just not winning them as much. And I hope that it's just a slow start and he'll get with the program as the season begins and, as it goes on. So, you know, I hope the best for him. But right now, it's exciting time for Ranger fans to watch these games, and I'm watching a hockey game. I'm not watching a stalemate. Like it looks like a chess match where nobody moves when Rennie was there. And now we've it's up and down. Wouldn't you agree, fellas?
Yeah, I definitely. I'm glad you called in. One of the things, once we got done recapping the games, is there's a section I have, you know, and I called it, what do we know about this team so far? And I've got a whole bunch of subjects. So I hope you're going to stick with us for a while, because I'd like to hear you chime in on this, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. And actually...
Game. Detroit tied the game. It's getting interesting. Detroit tied the game. I'm just giving updates. I know we have a couple of Minnesota fans who come to Blue Shirt Panther.
Baseball?
Oh, there's Detroit, Minnesota is playing a 1-game playoff in baseball.
Who
can't? Yeah.
Hockey season.
There are at least 5 Detroit, Minnesota fans who listen to Booster Panther and read the site daily. I see them on the Vikings blog.
You'll never hear any baseball on my show.
you have briefly mentioned the Mets on your show once or twice, very briefly.
That's true. But you know what it is? I only have like five subscribers to my joke. So, but anyway, yeah, well, I know it's not. You're right, kid. I have thousands. Chuck Scarborough mentioned me last week. This week,
Scott and Todd were talking about you. PLJ
Scott
this morning.
Scott Todd, a PLJ, and what's that other one? I can't think of a. I'll think of a later. But anyway, yeah. So Rangers are much more exciting. Delilah. Who's Delilah?
You know that. Never mind. Anyway.
Right. Never, I know what you're talking about.
You never heard of Delilah? She does like that. She does like that nighttime show where she plays like all love
it's
songs.
It's all lovey-dovey.
Dedication. Never mind.
She has 13 children. All of them are adopted. I'm not kidding.
All right.
Wow.
Let's
get back to hockey talk.
I now know more about Delilah than I need to know.
we talked
about her too long. All right. So, so one of the things that I have listed here as far as what do we know about this team so far is actually the last subject on the list. But since we're talking about it, we'll start with him. Michael Roosevelt. Mouth like you said, like I said, like Joe said, something's not right. And I'm wondering if the hip injury that he had hip surgery to repair a torn labrum in June of 2008. And we kind of thought that last year he was still coming back from that injury. We thought that he'd be completely healthy this year and ready for a rebound year, and it hasn't happened yet. And he hasn't looked right. And I'm wondering, do you guys think that maybe that injury and that surgery, that maybe that just kind of took it out of him, and, you know, it's pretty much curtains, as they used, you know, as Bugs Bunny would say.
Curtains
for you, Mike.
I haven't heard that since 1971. I mean, what kind of word is that? It's curtains for you, kid.
It's a Bugs. You can never go wrong with a good Bugs Bunny reference, so I made one. Curtains for you, Bugsy. I mean, do you think, you know, did that injury, you know, did that just take it out of him, or do you guys, you still think he's going to play into this system? Well, what do you guys think? Joe, why don't you go first?
Well, I think I'll start with, you and I had this perception or this idea, and I still kind of think it. I think Roosevelt had a rough year last year because of his, you know, the injury that he had. And I thought that this year, once he was healthy, all that was going to be behind him. Because if you think about it, when he was with Jagr, he was awesome. You know, he was a definite two, maybe a one, you know, defenseman. Now, he's being outplayed by Delzato, by Gilroy. He has not looked good. You know, me and DB Maven got into a little argument about this, and I think that DB's right in that he's not used to this system with Tortorella. And there's that 1 second of hesitation you see from him that results in, you know, defensemen getting past him and stuff like that. But Roosevelt has made two or three blind turnovers a game that I wouldn't make. And as a top, if you're not even that he's being paid like a top defenseman, if you are a top defenseman on the team and he's one of them, you can maybe afford one bad mistake a game. Roosevelt is at least two or three. And Redden, you know, Redden looks okay right now. He looks solid. I have no complaints. He's been playing well. And I'll take that. That's a big upgrade over last year. But he is making Roosevelt look awful. I think Roosevelt has been the only sore spot on this team. But with that being said, he improved a little bit against the Devils. He looked better against the Devils than he did against the Ottawa Senators. And he looked better against the Ottawa Senators than he did against Pittsburgh, although he had an atrocious game in Pittsburgh. So I'll give him. Well, I'll wait a couple more weeks before I throw him into the, you know, curtains category. But for now, he does not look like the Roosevelt I remember.
Curtains for you, Muggsy. Curtains. Mouse, what do you think?
Take the boys and surround the house.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
All right. This is my take on Roosevelt. Either it is the injury or it's just that he's lost it. And I hope to, you know, it's so early, but I'm just watching him. He looks like he's skating in quicksand out there. But as Joe said, he has kind of improved over the few games. So perhaps maybe you know, the crazy, wacky camp that Tortorella had, Camp Tortorella, as they say. And perhaps, you know, he was battling the flu, and I see that somebody mentioned that in a chat room as well, that was contributing to it. He just doesn't look – he looks a step slower out there to me, and, you know, hopefully he can correct it. And Joe was talking about Redden. I thought Redden has played okay. And I saw Paulie D also on the chat room. I'm like the chat room girl now. But the chat room, Paulie D said, brought up Girardi's play, which I believe also has been it just has been – hasn't been consistent enough for me, even though they really want to – Eddie, was it Eddie Olczyk who did the call yesterday, who I got a major beef with? Was he rooting for the Devils in that game, or was it me? I know I got a persecution complex, but Eddie Olczyk, everything was a wonderful support. Wonderful, wonderful. He's terrible. He was rooting against the Rangers in that game. He couldn't wait.
I disagree. I think that when I usually watch the Rangers play the Penguins on Versus, Eddie Olczyk is the only one that gives the Rangers any props. Normally everyone, especially Pierre Maguire and Mike Milbury. God, I did.
Well, I'm talking about last night.
Mike Milbury.
I mean, I
like Olczyk. I'm not going to lie. I like him.
Oh, he's terrible.
I'm going to agree with Mouth a little bit. I thought Olczyk kind of reminded me of when Phil Simms does a Giants game. It's almost – I get the feeling that Simms goes out of his way not to compliment the Giants because he doesn't want to look like a homer since he played for them. And I kind of get the same impression – I got the same impression from Olczyk last night that he didn't want to go out of his way to compliment the Rangers because he played for them.
I mean, that could be a possibility. You know, I've had a run-in of sorts with Ed Olczyk that maybe – they have me a little bit prejudiced. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I was at the mausoleum. I watched a Ranger Islander game there that Versus carried. The Rangers, of course, lost 2-1, I think, on a Bruno Gervais goal. I don't even remember. It was a disgusting game. And I saw Eddie coming out of the game, and I was like, hey, Eddie, thanks for 1994. And he looked at me like I was talking some foreign language that he didn't understand. Now, you know me, I'm not too quiet. I'm kind of straightforward. I mean, if you don't hear what I'm saying, you got to be deaf or stupid. So I'm going with the latter. So I say, Eddie, thanks for 94. He goes, yeah, not too loud in this building, though. And he runs away from me. I was like, you spineless bastard. You know, you can't be exuberant about saying, hey, thanks, pal, I love the Rangers. I think he's had a falling out with the Ranger management. Something has gone on with the Rangers and him, and maybe he thinks he should have Joe Micheletti's job. And the job that Joe's doing, maybe he's right. But anyway, I don't care, Black Ace. He was traded for – we got him. You know who we gave up? You know who we gave up for him? Ty Domi.
Stop throwing gasoline on the fire, please.
I mean, ridiculous.
I don't want to tangent now. It's going to take him at least 15 minutes to calm down.
I mean, come on.
It's all right.
Absolutely.
Who did we trade for Eddie Olczyk?
We traded Ty Domi and Chris King to get him. It was a terrible trade. As a matter of fact, I commented on Ty Domi's Facebook the other day, worst trade. He was like, thanks. So anyway, yeah, I mean, what did heave-ho, that's all he was worth as far as I'm concerned. And then I've had a couple run-ins with him. I was at Belmont Raceway in 94 when they were the cup was being shown to the fans. I think it was Belmont or Aqueduct. I'm not sure which racetrack. And he was there, and and I think the following year he got traded. I think, or he left. He was on another team the next year. So I don't know what's going down with Eddie Olczyk, but it seemed to me that he was, you know, he was lauding the great Devils, and meanwhile, I thought the Rangers played a good game. The third period was kind of like, you know, I would like to have seen more aggressiveness, but I think it was the fact that they had played three games in four nights. So, the first three games, to me, I'm extremely happy. I've seen what I've seen so far. I like the fact that the fourth line is doing extremely well, and they're getting shots on goal and quality shots on goal, which we did not see under the Rennie system at all. And good forechecks, too, which I like. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, that fourth line, that's another thing we're going to talk about. I'm going to bring in Paulie D real quick. He's been holding. Paulie, good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. Like always, great show. I hear Mouth's going off. I know he's a big big fan of the Black Aces back in 94.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And, you know, I figured I'd add my 2 cents about Roosevelt. I got to tell you guys, I think Rosie's pretty much doing his job. You know, I'm not expecting him to score 30 goals this year, Joey.
Forget his offensive contributions and what he brings to the team.
Oh, they're adorable.
Yep. Forget his offensive contributions. You think he's been okay defensively?
I think, you know what, let me ask you a question, Joey. Do you have anything in front of you? How many minutes did he log last night?
I don't know. I can look.
Let me ask you another question. How many minutes did he log in the 3 days? In the three games? I bet you he's got to be leading on with ice time.
Roosevelt?
I doubt that highly because he was basically benched in the Pittsburgh game.
Well, you got to remember now, too, he's not power play the way he used to either. I mean, he was always on the power play. I think you're seeing him now at the last 20 seconds.
Quite
look power good.
All right, I'll tell you. He played 15 minutes against the Penguins.
All right.
He played 21 minutes against Ottawa. He played 18 minutes against the Devils.
Okay, who is tops? Who had the most minutes?
Oh, I don't know. You're just running me all over the friggin' internet now. I don't know. I only have his stats up. I mean, I can look.
Okay. I got a
well,
feeling
he's at least in the top two. I bet you he's at least
to remember
in the top
two. He might be, mainly because Tortorella is not playing Delgado and Gilroy in the third period. And, I mean, at the end of the day, Roosevelt is, I mean, he's made a couple of stupid turnovers that he has not been punished for. Lundqvist has bailed him out a couple of times. And I don't think that he's going to score. If he scores 10 goals and gives me 30 assists, I'm very happy with Michael Roosevelt. And I know those are numbers he's capable of producing.
Are you going to let me out of the cage?
The
can I get out of the cage now? You got a couple of minutes for me, Jim, or you want to move on?
Well, hold on. Paulie, Paulie, we got all night for you. Wait a minute. Hey,
pal, Dan. It's Clayton's for you, Rocky. Clayton's. No. No, not that. No, no. Clayton's, you understand?
No, sir.
Clayton's. Yeah. Oh, there are.
You're so out of control.
Right. I love it. I love it. I was able to find a website real quick that had that downloaded, got it uploaded. I love it. It's Clayton's for you, Bunsy. Anyway, all right.
It's Kurt's for you, Paulie.
All right, I got to be honest with you. And, you know, me, I don't lie. I'm honest. You know what? I don't think Rosie is the best defenseman that we can put on the ice, but. For what I expect out of Roosevelt, I got to tell you, my biggest disappointment is Dan Girardi, and I've said it time after time, day after day, year after year. I'm not crazy. I think if anybody makes mistakes, Joe, Dan Girardi is the mistake king. Now, yesterday I thought he played a fairly decent game. In the first two games, he's getting knocked around. He can't win the loose puck battles, I thought. I think Dan Girardi's. I would honestly, I'd move him and bring in someone else. That's my personal opinion. I am not a big fan of him. Now I would say this. I wouldn't boo him, but I'm not a big fan of him. I would move him way before I'd ever move Roosevelt. Roosevelt's bigger, he's stronger, and I think he logs more time and better quality time than Dan Girardi has ever as a New York Ranger, and that's my personal opinion.
Here's my problem with I will agree with you that I don't think Girardi's been the worst defenseman on the ice. I think Roosevelt has been, but I think Dan Girardi is in the same boat with Roosevelt as he's getting progressively better as the games have gone on. I think Dan Girardi is very, very uncomfortable in this new system because if you remember, Tom Rennie basically beat defense over Girardi's head and he forced Girardi to come back and he forced Girardi to kind of turn into this stay-at-home defenseman. And I think that Girardi is trying to break out of his cage and play a little bit of offense. I think Girardi's going to look uncomfortable for at least a couple of weeks. But my problem with Roosevelt is he took two stupid penalties last night, and he just, it's not for lack of trying. I'm not saying that he's being, you know, an idiot or he just doesn't care anymore. He doesn't have it. I think that either his injury is flared up again, or, as me and DB Maven talked about, he's incredibly uncomfortable with Tortorella's new system. Because for Roosevelt has not looked comfortable back there. Roosevelt has looked like, he just has not been playing well at all. And I am not comfortable when I see him out there. And to answer your question, Staal leads all D-men in ice time, then Redden, then I think it's Girardi and Roosevelt are close to one another. But I have not liked what I've seen from Roosevelt at all. Girardi, I can handle. Girardi's a little bit faster. He's not as strong, but Girardi's a bit. I think Girardi's tougher. I think Girardi will get in people's faces more than Roosevelt will. And I would much rather have Girardi on this team at, 26 than Roosevelt.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue age with you. And, youth is definitely going to play a factor there, Joe. But, I have to be honest. I mean, Gilroy and Delzato are exciting. They're exciting. And I thought in game one against the Penguins, and I had stated this, and I think Mouth and I were talking a little bit, I really thought we needed to throw a rope around this kid's waist and pull him back to the line there. He scared me a lot. And, we all have to talk about the excessive amounts of, when you're playing teams like the Penguins, you cannot continue to give them two-on-ones because you will pay for them. And I thought, again, Henrik Lundqvist, and I brought this up on my show yesterday, was if Henrik doesn't stand on his head game in and game out every game, where is this team going to be? Because I have to be honest with you. I think the defensive core, yeah, it's nice to score power play goals. Absolutely, we've been looking for that. But your number one job is to defend our goal. That's your job. That's what you do. Goals are nice, but I would give up anybody so we can keep the puck out of the net. With that said, Joey, this kid, Gilroy, he's exciting to watch, don't get me wrong. And he has gotten progressively better. I think he's coming back more, being a little smarter. But first game of the season, I understand. In the future, you get a hot Penguins team and you give them 8 or 9 two-on-ones, we're in a lot of trouble. That game, I honestly thought the Penguins in the first game could have blew us out if Henrik doesn't stand on his head.
I will agree with you. I definitely agree with you that we give up way too many two-on-ones. But I am much more inclined to accept two-on-ones being given up by Delgado and Gilroy than Roosevelt. Delgado and Gilroy are young. They're learning the system. And I got to be honest with you, Delgado and Gilroy have not looked like defensive liabilities the same way I've looked at Roosevelt to be thus far. I think that, for the most part, Delgado makes a couple of mistakes, and, Gilroy comes in and out. Gilroy has the speed. If you notice, Gilroy breaks up a lot of odd-man rushes. Or not breaks up, but he catches up because he goes into the zone too far, and he has the speed to come back and turn a two-on-one into a two-on-two. Roosevelt does not have that speed. So when there's a two-on-one and Roosevelt's chasing, he's not going to get there. And I think that Roosevelt looks uncomfortable pinching. I think him and Girardi have the same problem. They look uncomfortable pinching. They look like they're, there's that split-second hesitation of should I play defense or should I pinch in the zone? And then before you know it, the puck is out of the zone and they're sitting behind the play. I would be more inclined to say that, you know, Delgado and Gilroy, fine, don't let them play the third period. You know, that's the way it is. But this team is built around pinching chances. And this system that Tortorella is putting in, he knows Lundqvist is back there. And there's no problem. I have no problem with giving up one or two more odd man rushes. Obviously, you've been giving up too many. But I have no problem with giving up a couple of one or two-on-ones because Lundqvist is back there. And if it generates goals, it generates goals.
And you know what, but, Joe, you made some real good points there. And one point I want to make, and I thought we talked about this earlier, it is an Olympic year. And, is the answer Henrik is going to play 82 games? Or are we just going to throw away 20 games? You got to tighten up. And, DB, I see it. You know, I know I have to get used to it. There's no doubt in my mind that this team has to tighten up.
And they will. I think that you know, Tortorella said this. You need to give them time for it to be instinctive. You need to give them time. Once this team gets used to the system, and it will take it'll take a month or so. Once they get used to this system, they will be much, much better on not giving up odd man rushes. But you have to give them that time. I mean, 3 games into the season, they're playing okay. I completely agree with you. Way too many turnovers. And yes, Lundqvist is not going to play 82 games. Valiquette is going to see somewhere near 20. But by the time that starts becoming a factor, I think this team is going to get used to the system and they're going to play to it a little bit better. I think right now it's too early to say this system isn't going to work because you have to let them get used to it. It has to become instinctive. Dan Girardi has to know, I need to pinch right now, instead of thinking about it. He also has to know, I have to come back and play defense right now. And that's what time will bring.
One thing I disagree with you, I think, Joe, it might even take longer than a month. I wouldn't be surprised if this team doesn't look completely comfortable at what they're doing until it might be Christmas. You know,
Tortorella did say December.
You know, it's going to take time. You know, we're just going to have to take the good with the bad and hope that it improves. Like Andrew Gross said when he was on our show last week or the week before, you know, he said that they're going to hit that. They're going to play 500 hockey probably for a while, and then they're going to hit a point where they're either going to take off or they're not. And
right.
You know, we're just going to have to see what happens. And I think it could take until Christmas before we really see this team look completely comfortable at what they're doing. And by then, they'll have a better idea who works in this system and who doesn't. Maybe Girardi's one of those guys that doesn't work. Maybe Roosevelt's one of those guys that doesn't work. But from an athletic standpoint, I just think Girardi, to me, has played better than Roosevelt from a hockey standpoint, I think. I mean, Girardi hasn't been great, but I also wonder how much of it is in Girardi's head as far as what we heard about Tortorella getting on him all through camp and coming into the season. You know, maybe he's a little – he's probably – you know, maybe he's just thinking too much. Who knows? I know you're not a Girardi fan, Paulie, and I'm not the biggest Girardi fan in the world either, but I think he's okay. But, you know, time will tell with him.
You know what, and I got to be honest with you. I mean, I actually have – and I don't want to say I'm impressed, but as much as a liability as Joe seems to think the defense corps has been – I think positionally, you know, for the most part, I think these guys are doing a decent job. I think one of the issues with Girardi is he just seems weaker than he's ever been. I don't know if that makes sense, but he doesn't seem – I remember when Girardi used to be able to throw a pretty decent hit, and it just looks like Girardi can't stand on his own feet at times. He just scared. It looks like he can't work the corners the way. And I'm not talking about, Joe, I'm not talking so much about, you know, the pinch or should I come back or should I go in deep. I'm talking about in our own zone, behind our own net, in certain areas. Girardi just doesn't seem strong enough to me where Roosevelt does. If that makes sense to you, defensive position.
I will agree with you, but one of the things that you have to realize is it kind of is interrelated. the two. And I think one of the main reasons why Girardi hasn't looked so good is because for the first time in his life, Staal is actually pinching in and joining the offense. I mean, for the longest time, that pairing has been together for at least 2 years now, I would say, Staal would always be the one playing back. And Staal would be the one who, you know, protects the blue line while Girardi pinches. And now that Staal's pinching, I don't think Girardi looks comfortable at all. And I think that there's no longer that comfort factor that, oh, if I go behind the net on defense, Staal is going to be right there, because Staal might be halfway up, you know, looking for a pass to get to the neutral zone. I think that Girardi and Staal used to have a norm. It was very similar to the Jeff Bukaboom, Brian Leetch, you know, without, obviously, Girardi being Brian Leetch. But Leetch would always go into the zone. He'd always play the offense. And Bukaboom would play D, and he'd be the bone-crushing defenseman. Staal would always be playing D, always looking back, always looking to stop offense, whereas Girardi would always look to join the rush. And now that's not there anymore. And even if you're playing defense, even if the puck is in your zone, it's much different for Staal to be thinking, okay, let me go back and help Girardi and play D. With Rennie, now he's thinking with Tortorella, I need to move up to the half boards maybe and see if I can't get an outlet pass. And I think that Girardi just he hasn't acclimated to that system yet.
Well, I mean, that all comes with what they call puck support. You know, there is you do have a job when the puck is in your zone. The ice is cut into three separate parts, left, center, and right. Your job as a defenseman, depending on where the puck is and all that fun stuff, is, you know, if you're in the left corner, the other defenseman, depending on what's going on, should usually be in front of the net, protecting the goaltender. That's usually how that works if you want to talk X's and O's. And I understand your point. There's a mindset, and hopefully it will change. I just think physically Girardi looks weaker, if that makes, you know, that's what I see defensively. But let's move on to something fun. I think
Hold on, I want to bring another caller on the line. 845-827, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Is this DB Maven? Hello? 845?
It is indeed. Hello? Good evening, gentlemen.
There you are.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, DB, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well.
Well, all right.
Welcome to the show.
Having a hockey chat.
What's going on?
Thank you.
What's on your mind tonight?
Just a quick comment. I think that all of the D-men, especially Girardi and Rosie, are suffering after effects of Camp Tortorella, possibly the flu, and they're going to probably pick up over time. I think Joe made the point, and probably Paulie did as well. It's going to take them some time. They're going to need a couple of weeks, and especially Rosie and Girardi, they're really, really not comfortable in this system. And that, I think, was the problem. I made this comment somewhere else as well, that Sanguinetti got screwed by the Rennie system.
That's a great
point. You know, the guy was another Delzato. They're very similar. He was offense first. He had great skating wheels and you know, shot and puck handling the whole nine yards. And to fit the Rangers system for 2 years, they schooled him in defense first, fall back, the classic Rennie style. Because you want your farm team to play the same style as the big club. And now he and Girardi and Roosevelt are trying to unlearn years of that, you know, crap.
Yeah, that's a great point, DB. I think that's an excellent, excellent point. That makes
Didn't I
make that point about Girardi? I'm just thinking. I think it was the same thing. You know, I completely agree with you, DB. I think that when, you know, that's why you see Delzato up here now than Sanguinetti, because Delzato spent, I think, two seasons while Rennie was the coach in the OHL, and he was able to play his game. And you don't see that out of Sanguinetti. And I think it's the same thing. I mean, Staal hasn't been affected because Staal is a defensive defenseman. He plays Rennie's system. Girardi has to be changed.
I don't know that Staal is going to have as hard of a time adjusting, because I think he's got the capability, and maybe it's just a natural smarts that he can do it. I don't know. I just get the sense that Staal can probably pick it up quicker, and I think he's adjusted better. There's times when he doesn't look comfortable either. They're all of those guys have looked to me at various points through the preseason and even into the first three games. There are moments when you could almost see them going, oh, shit, what do I do, forward or back? And that split-second hesitation is what leads to the 2- and 3-on-1s in the situations that we've seen. I think and you know what? Tortorella has said it himself. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be trying times. You're going to have mistakes. As they get used to the system, as they kind of get into, as he says, the December time frame, we'll get away from the tape, we'll stop preaching to them about the mistakes, and we'll let them play. Because by December, they either got it or they don't. It's kind of, I think that's kind of his cutoff time. If you haven't gotten it by December, he's given up on you.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's what's going to happen. So we got a little bit of flu running all up and through the Rangers right now. Huh? Hopefully, taking the IVs and need to get everybody better. I got a little touch of it myself the last week or so.
The M1 H1 or whatever it is, H1 M1.
the swine flu. Yeah, really.
If you crave bacon, you know you got it.
Paul, let me ask you a question. I mentioned this on the show before you popped in, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it because you've talked all summer long about that you felt the Rangers aren't – there's not enough grit. And I kind of – the one thing that Saturday night when they beat Ottawa, the one thing that concerned me a little is I thought they got pushed around pretty hard at times. Did you see the same thing, or is it not something that concerns you?
I'll be honest with you. Katsi made a great point with the fact that Avery's not there, but you know, there was something that I saw last night that disturbed me, and this is against the Devils, and this is something that I see, and I don't know. There was a play last night, shot on goal. Henrik makes the save, and I forgot who it was. If I say Pandolfo, I might be wrong. Whoever it was, skates right in the crease and is standing there right in front of Lundqvist for at least 10 to 12 seconds. Now, if you see that on any other team, the defenseman will come over and push you out of the way. That bothers me. That concerns me. I don't like that. I tell you what,
who was the defenseman on that play?
What's that?
Do you remember who the defense pair was on the play, or no?
Unfortunately, I haven't gone through the tape again. I was on the show with Kotz, and I was watching it, trying to get in between, and I just stood there and I saw it, and I was thinking to myself, "What the hell's going on?" And you know what? I can't say that I remember. If I had a guess, I would think Redden was on the ice, but that's just my first thought because he just seems like a pansy lily or whatever the hell you want to call him. But getting back to your question, Jim, I got to be honest. Mouth and I were talking about Voros in Game 1. I thought he was lethargic, and he looked like he was skating in mud. And the last couple of games, I thought that line was very productive, and they seemed to be just causing a little havoc. That's a lot of weight on that line, and I was impressed with some of the things what Boyle did. But, yes. You got Dubinsky who'll stick up for his teammates and Callahan. And do we have the grit that I like to see when it's got to get nasty and, you know, you got to clear out the crease or you got to really protect a teammate? We don't have it, and it bothers me because playing in the divisions that we play in, if you don't make people pay for even scoring a goal or just doing the things that they do in this great game, that gets out, and I don't think we have that grittiness yet. With Avery coming back, I would like to see Boyle be able to drop the gloves. It's one thing they say the kid really doesn't do, but at 6'7", 260 pounds or whatever he is, this guy needs – I would spend the money and, you know, get him up with Ray Emery or somebody and teach him how to fight, because we're going to need that. I definitely think as we go further and it gets nastier, you know, it's the first three games, Jim. Can you imagine when it really, really starts to mean something? What are we going to do? I'm afraid, though, when we play like Flyers and the Islanders. I really am truly afraid of that, because I just don't think we have that nasty grit that you need.
I think we have Mouth. Are you back?
That's right. I'm back. I'm sorry. I had technical difficulties. Actually,
Monty to fix the internet connection.
Eddie Olczyk showed up at my door, and we had a little problem. He scrapped it out on the front porch. That's where I was. I'm sorry about that.
He showed up with who's the other Black Ace? Peter Anderson, was that his name? He was one of the other
Peter
Black
Anderson,
Aces.
Peter Anderson, I think Mike Hartman was another.
Mike
one.
Hartman, yeah, they all showed up like the Lords of Flatbush. showed up and knocked on the door, Mouth went to the door, and all he heard was,
"It's Titans for you, Rocky. Titans." No, wait.
All right, I'm sorry, I had to do it.
Apparently, you could be banned from the chat room for repeating. I wrote LOL apparently too many times, and I have been muted by the admin for breaking the chat room rules. Is that not the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
This is like Comedy Central,
Joe
man.
Joe Fortunato is muted by the admin for breaking.
I don't know. It says in red with an exclamation point next to it, Joe Fortunato is muted by admin for breaking rules.
I think Mouth's playing with the switchboard.
What? I mean,
DB, why don't you go ahead? You had something you wanted to talk about.
I just want to follow up on what Paulie was saying there before the comedic interlude. On Boyle, he's one
sure
of the. What's that?
I'm not sure I like the way you said that, the comedic interlude.
It was great. Come on.
Oh, okay. We're trying to relax tonight, DB. It's, you know,
absolutely.
A little less stressful tonight, so we're cutting back, cutting loose tonight. Anyway, but go ahead.
Sounds good. It's an enjoyable time. Now you made me lose my train of thought. It went off the wrong track.
Boyle.
Boyle. I share your concern almost exactly. There's not enough. I don't see any defenseman other than Staley who's been throwing his body around, and that was true last year too. Girardi to some extent, but Staal is really the only one who actually finishes a check that I can see. And if you look at the two rookies, they're not going to run anybody out of the crease. That just ain't happening. So my question is, for example, on the penalty kill, you've seen Boyle out there a lot. Do you actually lay him back in a defensive posture and maybe put one of the rookie D-men further up, almost in a forward spot, because he'll clear the crease?
Yeah. DB, I think what they're doing, and I'm definitely going to have to hit some more tape. I think when I saw him killing penalties, I'm not necessarily sure he was taking any face-offs that were going on, but I think he was playing the center position where he was trying to move some people away and out of the crease. But, that's definitely a concern. We just don't have the big bodied guys that can move people around, and in this game, I'm sorry guys, you need that. And I mean, I'm excited about Delzato and Gilroy, and I think they're a big part of the future here. But you know, some really great points.
Can I jump in here? I'd like to jump in on this.
Uh-oh.
Now, Paul, you just start all these fights. It's supposed to be a relaxing show.
Now you see, Paulie, we're all having a nice time. We're in the pool having a good time. And now you're going to make Mouth do a cannonball right in the middle of the whole damn thing.
You pop the inflatable alligator, all right? Yeah. Mouth was having fun on it. Now he's pissy.
Oh,
and now what's going to happen is I'm going to do a cannonball. All the water's going to go out of the pool. But anyway, this is what's going to happen. I have to drag D.B. Maven and Paulie D. into the year 2009 because you guys are stuck in this. We got to have physical demon to move people. We've got – this isn't happening anymore. Usually a team has one – name a team. Give me a team.
Mouth.
You really think that the Flyers – don't have the defensemen that are going to knock people out of the crease? There's your example.
Name
the Broad Street Bullies.
You need at least one, and you need at least one, and that's why the Flyers overpaid for a guy like Chris Pronger.
Exactly.
There is absolutely, and I'm hoping that Stahl can become that type of defenseman. But there is no substitute for Pronger.
I got to beg to differ. When you get into playoff hockey, Mouth, are you kidding me? I thought the Penguins, when we played the Penguins, pushed us around. I thought Ovechkin's team last year pushed us around. We just don't have. The nastiness that you need to play hockey. I'm sorry, Mouth. You know what? The first three games, you got to let it go. I'm talking about when it comes down to when the game matters, when the points really start getting nasty, and when we start getting into the playoffs. You can't tell me that the Capitals did not knock us around last year in the playoffs, because I think they did. I think they out-hit us. I mean, Ovechkin's running around. You got guys like Pody running around and Green. And all these guys just knocked us into tomorrow. Yeah, even Pody. Can you imagine that?
D.B. mentioned the Broad Street Bullies. I mean, in 1975. And you want to talk about the playoffs last year. We had an absolutely flaccid team out there. The fourth line was a bunch of robots who'd never hit. Never did anything, and that includes Colton Orr, who wasn't much of a hitter. Now you've got a fourth line. Do you see throwing their bodies around? Getting that fourth check, getting shots on goal? Do you watch the same games I'm watching? So far,
but the fourth line's
getting 5 minutes a game, man.
No, they're playing more. They're playing more in that third game. Yep. The schedule is tighter this year, and they're playing more, and you can notice when they're on the ice. And last year, in the playoffs, we went seven games. We got outplayed. We got out. The physical part was ridiculous. And you're trying to tell me that this team wouldn't compete better than last year's team against the Capitals?
Physically, no.
You're not going to get, Matt, you're not going to get that fourth line on the ice during a penalty kill. It's not going to happen. You're not going to put them out there.
Boyle's playing the penalty kill.
Only Boyle. That's not the fourth line. You've got Boyle out there with who else? With Redden, who stands around and watches people skate through the freaking crease. Okay? Roosevelt, who looks at times like he doesn't know whether he's coming or going. And, you know, Callahan or Dubinsky, who's out trying to pressure the puck. So who's going to move the guy out of the crease?
If it ain't Boyle, it ain't nobody. DB, let me ask you a question. The Rangers penalty killing last year, where did it finish?
Number one.
You tell me, who was clearing the crease in that era from last
Hank.
Year? Yeah, and guess who's going to be clearing it again this year? Hank. No, it doesn't matter.
Forget penalty kills. I agree that you need to have a defenseman who will clear the crease. Who will clear the crease during all types of different situations. I'm sorry, there is too much activity going on in front of Lundqvist. There really is. Guys are sitting in front of him. They're just sitting there. They're deflecting pucks from the net. You need to have someone who can move them. I hope Stahl becomes that defenseman. I really do. Right now, he's not fully there yet. Like I said, there's a reason why the Flyers overpaid for Pronger. He does that job. No one will sit in front of Ray Emery, mainly because they don't want to get into a boxing match with him, but because Pronger will put your face into the ice. We don't have that. We need that.
Yes, I'd like to see a defenseman who hits, but we don't have one. But I don't think this is such a glaring concern that we must, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they speak, because the Rangers aren't tough. Other than the Flyers, name me another team who's going to rough it up with us. And don't tell me the Bruins.
Did you watch the Stanley Cup Finals?
Of course.
Did you notice the difference in the refereeing from the regular season as you went through the playoffs?
It doesn't carry any merit. It doesn't carry any. That argument carries no merit because the Rangers went to 7 games with the Washington Capitals with absolutely no toughness.
I understand, but what I'm describing, I want to see if you notice the fact that once you got to the Stanley Cup Finals, the last series, the refs were letting them play a whole lot more than they did in the earlier season and certainly during the regular season. There was a whole lot more clutching, grabbing. They still weren't calling it like they were before the lockout, but it was a whole lot tougher game. There was a lot more hitting going on, and the calls were not being made. And you got a big guy like Gill and some of these other guys, they played a whole lot tougher in that series, and the refs let them do it. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get there. I'd love to see us get to the finals and have to suffer through it. But we don't have that. You know, it's not that we're complaining. Some of the guys in the chat room, it's a complaint. You know, everybody wants to bitch and gripe. It's not really a complaint. It's an observation of a hole that at some point, to go to the next level, the Rangers are going to have to fill.
Nope. I don't agree.
All right, I'm going to.
Allpick is a great defenseman. He blocks a lot of shots. Yes. He's a guy, a prototypical. I would love to have him in the lineup. Is it essential to win a Stanley Cup and take it to the next level? No. As far as I'm concerned, this is 2009. Those days are over.
And if the Rangers lack a certain toughness as the year goes on, that's something, you know, hopefully they can correct at the trade deadline if they feel it's an issue. But we'll save that conversation. You know, we can continue to have that conversation in the weeks and months to come. But I want to
have it on my show tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do it on your show tomorrow. Starting at 9 o'clock, 2 hours, DB Maven and Mouth arguing over the Broad Street Bullies and are we tough enough or not? All right, I want to. So, some other things that, you know, as I said a half hour ago when we started this subject, what else do we know about this team so far? And the one thing that I like, and I mentioned this last night, is that the difference between last year and this year, when the Rangers fall behind 2-1, it no longer feels like 4-1 or 5-1. Right. You know, you don't feel like. A 2-1 deficit doesn't feel like a death sentence anymore, and that's so nice to see. You know, they were down 2-1 last night. There was no, it's going to take us 30 shots to get this goal back. It might take us 2 weeks. But, you know, so that's something that I think, you know, a nice change as we, you know, with this new team and the new system. I don't know what you guys think, but I don't have that sense of dread anymore. You know, it's just nice to see. It doesn't feel that way.
You're not so worried
if
they're
behind. It's almost that's a lot to do with the coaching staff as well. I mean, something that Tom Rennie would do, and let me say this, I am a big Tom Rennie supporter. I think Tom Rennie did a lot of great things, and let's be honest, he pulled the Rangers out of the dark ages. He really did. But when we were down 2-1 in a hockey game with 6 minutes left in the third period, and the other team iced the puck, and Tom Rennie put the fourth line out, I wanted to climb over the boards and kill him myself. I mean, I really did. You just get so mad at him, so frustrated. You need to run with your strength. You really do. And Tom Rennie playing the fourth line, you know, 9-10 minutes a game, especially when you're losing a game, and especially after you ice the puck, isn't something that I would do as a coach. I'm not a coach, so maybe that says something. But John Tortorella plays his top guns, and he very rarely plays the fourth line, and that within itself has some disadvantages because, you know, they get tired, and that can lead to mistakes. But I think the biggest difference between the two, obviously when it comes to that situation, is that Rennie would go to the fourth line to actually try to motivate his boys, and I don't think that Tortorella does that. I think Tortorella does plenty of that himself.
Yeah, let me... Go ahead, Paulie.
You know, the one big thing that I noticed, and it was last night, that impressed me really a lot. There was one thing, I liked Rennie. I liked a lot of different things and about Rennie. Again, I'm a Rennie supporter too, Joe. One thing that I saw last night that impressed me, and I haven't seen this since Keenan. I know you know, you guys know where I'm going. The Rangers come out flat. Tortorella calls a timeout. He's not afraid. What is it? 80 seconds into the period, calls a timeout, gets the team to the bench, and just rips their head off. I like that, and I like that for several different reasons. For one, he's showing the team he's not playing games with them. For two, he's not afraid to take a timeout. That was one thing I had an issue with Tom Rennie. Tom Rennie would hold his timeout like it was a bag full of $100 bills. If you got to use it, use it. I'm serious. If you got to use it. And I don't care if it's a minute into the game or the last minute of the game, whatever. If you notice your team is looking bad, and Rennie would do this, we'd be winning 2-0, and the team would score three straight goals, and the guy wouldn't call a timeout. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you not using your timeout?
I completely agree with you.
Rally the troops.
I cannot agree with you anymore.
When he did that last night, I was very impressed, and I said, that's what the New York Rangers missed with Tom Rennie, and hopefully Tortorella can institute that, where that's the kind of coaching style I believe will win Stanley Cups. Not necessarily right now, but that is what I like to see. That right there.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the other things I wanted to mention. That's with this team is that they're responding to John Tortorella. You know, for all we talk about with John Tortorella is that, you know, he's a wasted coach. And I don't know what Paulie's laughing at. He'll have
it's
to show
not me.
Mouth said in the chat room that the veteran defenseman that we could use was Semenov's wife.
Big woman.
Poor Alexei Semenov. Anyway, he got his contract in the KHL. I guess he did all right. But anyway, is the way they're responding to John Tortorella. You know, eventually he may burn out with this team, you know, and they'll tune him out. That may happen someday. These type of coaches, that is a tendency to happen. But at least for right now, it looks to me like they're buying what he's selling and they're responding to him. You know, there's a lot of coaches that, you know, could call that timeout and bitch his players out like that, and it might have had no effect on him, you know. But the Rangers responded. I know it's only three games, but at least for now, this team is. I think they're buying what Tortorella's selling. They're drinking the Kool-Aid with mouth, and it's a good sign. And one of the other things I want to talk about, everybody, I was looking at the numbers today, and I know there was we had the open thread the other night for the Pittsburgh game, and I think everybody kind of was worried. You know, everybody's been worried about our penalty kill without Betts, without Sjostrom. How are we going to ever kill a penalty? Because the Rangers never killed a penalty off until Blair Betts showed up in town. So, and there was a sense of dread in the game thread the other night when the Pittsburgh got their first power play. You know, what's going to happen? And so far, the Rangers have killed off 10 of 12 penalties, 83%. So they're only 5 points off of last year, which was 88%. So far, that looks good, too. What are your guys' thoughts on that? In case you can't hear, my daughter has joined us here in the studio.
Hello?
I was being kind. I think that they are buying what Tortorella is selling. And I think that, you know, I've always said that the Rangers have needed. I mean, let's be honest. You live in New York. You play in New York. There are going to be distractions. This team needs a coach like Tortorella, or at least they do right now, because for the longest time, and this was another one of Rennie's shortcomings, in my opinion, if you were a veteran and you got signed by this team, Rennie would go to you no matter what. If Rennie could have shot the puck in his own net, and Tom Rennie would have him on the ice in every clutch position ever. It didn't matter. If you were a veteran, you played. I think that Tortorella's system completely takes that away. I know it completely takes that away. And he forces guys to actually earn their time. And that's one of the things that I think really makes a difference, because he's yelling on that bench, And you know that with him, if you don't do your job, you're not going to play. Whereas if Lenny was yelling at you on the bench, I don't think the fear is there.
I think you're earning your ice for the most part, but, you know, we just had a discussion 20 minutes ago about, you know, Redden still playing, Joe. So, you know, and you, from what you're telling me, he was in the top three in ice time as defenseman. So is Tortorella seeing something that nobody else is seeing, or what is it? Because
I think Redden's been much better this year than he was last year. I think Redden has been very solid.
Well, you also have to understand.
Greatly.
Well, you have to understand now they're split up. Those guys, they're playing with the rookies now, so their dimension should be more defensive. So I'm looking for them to be more solid defensively. So I think Redden, however, has done a better job at doing what Tortorella wants as far as carrying that puck. In the previous game, I did see Roosevelt rush up the ice, which was good to see. You know, it's so early for us to start saying this guy is bad, because really these guys are gelling as a team. They have a long way to go as far as that. I think once Sean Avery gets thrown in this mix, it is going to be so fun to watch these games. And I want to also give my props to Paulie, because Paulie made a good point actually right before I got on the air. It was while I was on the air. He was talking about Girardi. Now, the people I've talked to that are in the know as far as the Rangers organization feel that somewhere down the line, Dan Girardi is going to be moved. Not maybe this year, because of the plethora of defensemen that they have waiting to come up. And the fact that they characterize Girardi as a guy with not so much great skills and talent, but he's a heady player, and that's how he made the team. That's how he made the team under Rennie. And you're seeing that Tortorella kind of tried to light a fire under his butt by getting on him a little bit and try to motivate him to become maybe a little bit more focused, a little bit more aggressive. So that's a good pickup by Paulie as far as Girardi goes. Yes, I'd like to see Girardi take the body more. But again, I don't want to see the Rangers sacrificing anything. I'm not even going to go back to that previous point, but that, I'll leave it right there. That I think Girardi will be the guy that goes, even though he's 25, he's still young, but hopefully under Tortorella he can play. But
Joe?
Roosevelt, you got the contract too.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I thought you had a comment that you wanted to throw in there.
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. I agree. It's, you know, again, let's not forget that it's we're three games into the season. We'll see more as time goes on.
Absolutely.
I will add that. Distracted.
I will add that.
Are we interrupting your night? I mean, seriously here.
Hey, Mouth, Joe's going over the phone bill.
I'll add this. I want to say.
Real quick, hang on, Paulie, 1 second, real quick. If you guys, we got about 17 minutes to go. 646-478-4692. If you want to get a phone call in and join this this insanity before we're done tonight, by all means do. And then we're just about done here. A couple of things before we wrap up. But go ahead, Paulie.
I do want to say, three games in, I've noticed an improvement in each one of those games. I thought the team, you know, I talked about how I thought how loose they were against the Penguins, and I thought, you know, against Ottawa, and of course, you know, it's totally two different teams, two different skill levels, of course, and let's please keep that in mind. The Penguins are much better than the Ottawa Senators are, but I thought in that third period, I thought defensively and positionally, I thought the Rangers really started to close off, get in the right lanes, do the right things, and I thought that the Rangers started to show improvement. And I think, and I've heard Tortorella talk about this, there's a lot of tightening up to do. And that was one of the comments I made to Kotze after game one, and I think I did too with you, Mouth. I said, they just looked so disoriented under the system, and it just seemed like there were so many giveaways. And I think in three games they have progressed. So that's the exciting thing to think about, is that it's tough to play a style as wide open as it seems we want Tortorella to play. But at the same time, each guy has a job on the ice. And if you want to get technical, each position has its own certain spot on the ice in certain different areas, where they should be in the neutral zone, where they should be in the defensive zone, and where they should be in the offensive zone. And I thought throughout the three games, they improved positionally. The third period was kind of weird last night. I thought in the last 6 or 7 minutes, the crunch was on them, and we couldn't get the puck out of the zone, and a lot of negativity there. We had to kill a couple of power plays, but I thought within three games, I thought that the positional play got better. I don't think, and I didn't count, guys, but I know in game one, I actually stopped counting after the eighth 2-on-1 against. The second game against Ottawa, there was probably 6 or 8 2-on-1s. Last night, and again, I didn't review the tape. I was doing the show. I was watching it in and out. I didn't see a ton of 2-on-1s. Am I correct in that?
There was
a significant amount less, though.
Yeah, but I don't think the Devils aren't as skilled
either.
Yeah, they're not as skilled offensively as some of the other
teams. According to Ed Olczyk, Travis Sajak is the second coming, and they're just so fantastic. And look at this. But yes, they're not an offensive juggernaut. I thought that Pittsburgh game, I knew, I called the way that game was going to come, was going to just play out. It was going to be like, Pittsburgh was going to be all over the Rangers, and they were all over the Rangers, and it looked like the Rangers were going to get blown out of the building, and then the Rangers settled down, and, they lost the game by a goal. I mean, listen, they can't beat the Pittsburgh Penguins overnight in the first game out. I wasn't expecting much. I just wanted to see what the... I think you're going to see a more cohesive as the season goes on. I only see things getting better, not worse. And for a Ranger fan, that's a unique position. And I think we're all a little bit scared to embrace that. Who says I sound like Al Franken? I'm Al Franken.
Somebody's wife. I'm trying to scan the stat sheet here to see if it shows odd man rushes. So bear with me if you guys want to talk it up for a second there. I'm trying to find it. I don't know if they put it on this stat sheet or not.
Well, I'll just throw in that, I think that as time goes on, the odd man rushes are going to come to an end. They're not going to stop altogether. They're not. It's just Tortorella's system, that's one of the flaws for it. But I think it will get a lot better as time goes on.
Right. Joe, a lot of guys have made a lot of good points. With this style, and I hate to say afford, because, if you have a coaching set, a mindset on coaching, you want to take care of your own zone first. And any coach will tell you that. And you want to play good positional hockey. Any game in the world, especially hockey, is a game of mistakes. You want to limit yours and expose theirs. That is in any game in the world. And if they can do that in this process, because that's always a coaching's ultimate goal, is to limit the mistakes, get you to learn a system where recovery of mistakes is like this, and so on and so forth, I think this team can gel well. I think one of the concerns that I have overall is – if we don't take full control of, like, Gilroy, I think Gilroy is going to be dynamic for us, but I also think we do have to pull some reins on this kid and say, okay, this is your job. I just thought that in a couple of games, Gilroy, every time he was on the ice, I thought he was deep. And you can't have that either. Listen, if you get the opportunity to pitch, absolutely. If you get the opportunity to carry the puck in the zone, absolutely. But there are times when you can't pinch all the time. And, in this game, man, if they know you're pinching, and eventually teams are going to have the buck out on you. You know, after the 20-25 game mark, they're going to know your game plan, how you play, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. Right now, everything's a feel-out process. The thing that concerns
right.
me with
good
a
point,
team
Paulie.
Like the thing that concerns me with the teams like the Penguins and Philadelphia is the fact that if you leave Henrik Lundqvist exposed game after game, every game, the way this is happening, I think it's going to hurt this team. They are definitely going to have to fall back into some type of system to handle teams like, I cannot wait till we play the Capitals. I want to see how this system works against the Capitals. Because honestly, guys, I would rather win a 2-1 game than lose a 7-6 game. And that's just my...
Yeah,
that's
but Paulie,
just
how many 2-1 games are we winning with Rennie? We just were not winning games. And, you know, defense wins championships. Like, get that. I understand that. But we have the best power play in the league, and our power play couldn't score if they pulled the goalie. And we did not do any damage in the playoffs. And we need, and it's what
one.
You need. I completely agree
not
with you. I'd rather win a 2-1 game than lose, you know, a 7-6 game. You need the goal scoring. You need to put the puck in the back
first
of the net. You
have,
do.
Haven't you noticed that the Rangers have drawn a lot more penalties because they are in the offensive zone, because the Gilroys are pitching in? Listen. John Tortorella is the ultimate judge of talent on the ice. He knows what he's getting in Gilroy. He sees Gilroy pinching like crazy. Sure, I'm going, I hope the forwards got his spot backed up. But this is what Tortorella wants, maximum pressure. He wants the pressure never to cease on that defensive team. And that's the way they're going. And I think that I love it. I absolutely love it. I hope it continues. I hope it's successful. So far, I do like the drawing of the penalties because they're getting a cycle going in the offensive zone for a change.
Yep.
And, Paulie, I just want to expand on 2 points that you made. First, you said that, you know, having Henrik Lundqvist back there, you know, game after game, letting him get exposed. And let's not forget that chances are, you know, 20 of those games, somewhere around that number, it's going to be Steven Valiquette getting back, you know, back there getting exposed.
Right.
And then the other thing I wanted to say is, and I agree with you, I'm anxious to see how they play against the Capitals on Thursday night, but I think I'm more anxious to see how they play against the Capitals come February.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. By then we'll know better. You know, by the time we get into January and February, I think we'll really have a good idea how do we stack up against the big boys in the league, and you know, maybe none bigger than the Capitals right now. Let's see, we have look at that, 7 minutes to go. All right, let's see, we got chat room. Oh, Andrew SFL, he's down here. My neck of the woods is in the chat room tonight. Nice to see him. So we got 7 minutes to go. I just want to, before I forget, let you guys know, next week on the show we're going to be joined by Sid Rosenberg, who some of you may know, used to be on WFAN. He was a host he had his own show on WFAN. He was the pregame host for the Giants football games, and he's also a big Ranger fan, a big Mets fan. Now he's down in South Florida. He does a talk show on one of the sports shows, and I know Sid from, he did an interview with me on Big Blue View last year, and we got to talking last night, and he's going to come on the show next week for about a half hour, talk a little bit about the Rangers. I like Sid. He's a good guy. He's a lot of fun. I think it'll be interesting to talk to him about the Rangers and whatever else Sid wants to talk about. Frosty doesn't like Sid. Sidiot, as he's been referred to in the New York papers occasionally. I like Sid. Sid's all right. Sid's had his problems, but Sid's okay. He's a good guy. He's always been very nice to me, and that's really all that matters in my life. But so yeah, he's gonna join us next week. I think around 7:30. And the funny thing is, interesting little side story. Sid's assistant, Kevin, who I was emailing back and forth with last night, setting this all up for next week. Turns out Kevin's uncle is a guy that sells programs outside the garden for the Rangers, and went to high school with my mother and father, so we had kind of a nice conversation about that. So it's kind of cool that Sid's coming on next week. I'm looking forward to talking to him. So I just wanted to mention that before we run out of time. We got about 5 minutes to go. Got another phone call on the line. Let's see. Number looks familiar. Oh, I know who this is. Let's welcome in one of my best friends in the entire world. He's always a active participant in our chat room, and finally tonight he is calling in. Let's welcome to the show, Brian. Good evening. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jim and Joe. What's going on? Hey, guys.
How are you?
Hey, what's up, all Brian? Right. How you doing?
All
you
right.
No, he's B23 Blue Pain in the chat room for those of you listening in. So what's going on, Brian?
None. Keeping an eye on this Washington Flyers game and being a little concerned, probably thinking that we do need that work in front of the net and maybe, of course, Lundqvist to be strong in the net and stay healthy because these guys look pretty impressive tonight.
So you're going to open that
play.
Can of worms again?
No, I'm sorry.
You're poking. Paulie's got the hornet's nest and you got to poke it now. We're gonna get
right.
It.
That was my statement. My question is when can I expect my invitation to the Las Vegas Blue Shirt Panther Convention?
Las Vegas. Oh, forget it.
When are we having that?
Las Vegas. Yeah. Let me ask you, your wife, I know your wife, and your wife is a wonderful, wonderful woman, as is mine, and there ain't no way in hell either one of them is letting us go to Vegas.
Oh, man. Well, you can't win them all.
I'm ready for Vegas. I have an understanding wife that knows I need to sow my oats.
I think the Blue Shirt Banter Convention is more likely to be in Asbury Park, or maybe Parsippany, New Jersey, or out in Ronkonkoma.
So we're going to go on a Ferris wheel.
Backyard.
It's going to be a barbecue at Paulie D's house. We'll have Totsy there flipping burgers. Paulie D and Totsy, the Blue Shirt Banter Barbecue.
I guess I'll take what I can get.
You mean we're not going to the Sizzler?
Hey. Oh, no.
I got that bet.
Sizzler won't have
that,
us.
Well, no, Russ Cohen, I got that bet. 5 Rangers won't get 20 goals, he bet me. So he'll be paying for all our Sizzler dinners.
Oh, that's right. He's going to take us all out to Sizzler. I forgot about that. That's
I'll
right.
See him
I'm
Thursday. I'm going to make sure he knows it, too.
I'm gonna have
Can't wait. I'll bring the coupons.
I'm going to have to iron a shirt for that one. All right, we got about 2 minutes to go. We're almost done. Joe has been awfully quiet the last – Joe, have you already started celebrating your birthday?
No, I haven't. I'm just listening to all of you talk.
Oh.
But, I mean, I don't have to say everything all the time. Sometimes silence speaks louder than words.
Not on the radio.
No, not on the radio.
Only if you're a mime.
Ouch.
This is craziness.
All right.
You know, I was just thinking, though, Paulie, have you been talking to Kotze? Is Kotze alive and well? Because I sent him an email a couple of days ago, and he has yet to get back to me.
He's talking to Kotze. He's living in Kotze's basement, for God's sake.
I don't know.
Paulie, upstairs, see what Kotze's doing. Tell him to get back to me.
Kotze's been talking to me every day. I don't know what to tell you.
Coming up on the next Paulie D show, Paulie D and Kotze Yahtzee.
Has he really been talking to you? I've been rejected. It doesn't feel nice. I'm very sad now.
You have to clear all communication
from the chat room.
Yeah.
That was the highlight of the night.
I just want to thank you, gentlemen, for having me on today, and it's always a pleasure to talk hockey with you fine fans, and Blue Shirt Banter is leading the charge here, and I just want to say I'm always checking that website because it's phenomenal. And you guys got your own gig going tomorrow, right? Tomorrow night?
Yeah, we got Ranger Crisis Special Edition with my guest, Brett Hull. No, I don't really have Brett Hull on, but I'm going to advertise that I have him on so people listen.
All right, gentlemen, thank you again. It's always great.
Thanks, Paulie.
Take care, Paulie.
Same here. I'm checking out. Thanks, guys.
Good night, DB. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, DB. Thank you.
Tomorrow night.
Good night, guys.
Tomorrow night, Ranger Crisis Radio with Brett Hall or Brett Summers, one of the two. All right, we got about 30 seconds to go. Brian, thank you very much for calling in, and
right.
I hope you call it again. I told you it wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
All right,
yeah,
have
Brian.
Fun.
Bye.
And I'm Al
right.
Frankenstein. Good night.
Good night, Mal. Thanks for checking in.
Take care.
All right, good night. Thank you. All right, guys, you got 10 seconds to go. Thank you for listening. We will catch you guys next Tuesday night. Joseph, always a pleasure, and the happiest
you
of birthdays tomorrow.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right, we're off the air. How do I? Oh, there we go.